Hello and happy December 21st, BC.
Happy solstice.
Is it the solstice?
21st is the solstice.
Happy solstice.
What we really should be celebrating. Longest night of the year. The death of the year. Rebirth of the new year.
Darkness.
Yeah.
Longest night of dark.
Longest night, period.
Longest night, period. Yeah. But it's also 3 days to Christmas, the birth of Christ. So, it's my turn today. I'm Topher Graham.
I'm Ariel Hansen, and I did not put enough eggnog in my rum.
Fair enough. So, Ariel, you talked about the tradition of telling ghost stories at Christmas.
Yes, yes. That's how we got, like, things like A Christmas Carol.
So I thought I would continue on this tradition and talk about Ghosts of Christmas Past. Now, you're from Victoria, right? And
pretty sure I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saanich, Victoria.
When I was born, we lived in Victoria.
Okay. So you must know the Pioneer Square. It's like a little park. It's got like old gravestones in it.
What neighborhood is it in?
I believe we're talking around Bastion Street, kind of close to Bastion Square.
Because I know where Bastion Square is. I can't think of a square with gravestones, though. Okay, it is. Okay, it's right by Christ Church Cathedral, the Anglican Cathedral.
Christ Church Cathedral, Pioneer Square. It used to be called the Quadra Street Burial Ground.
Woo! Burial grounds.
It was active between 1855 and 1873 and is home to 1,200 to 1,300 bodies.
That's a lot of bodies.
Yeah, lots of dead people.
Yeah.
For like less than 20 years. It's a lot of dead people.
I mean, there's more dead people than alive people.
Yeah, well.
Everywhere.
This would have been like Fraser Valley Gold Rush. So I'm guessing they're not. A lot of them probably weren't even Victorians.
Oh.
Regardless.
They still died there. That's what counts.
So the main part of this story is about the first ever recorded BC ghost sighting.
Oh.
And it's near and dear to this day. Like, well, not today, but Christ's birthday.
Bastard!
Because it happened on Christmas Eve, 1861.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve, 1861 was BC's first ever recorded ghost sighting. It was the White Lady, who's described as plain looking, with hair that hung loosely around her shoulders, and that she glides as if her feet couldn't touch the ground. And she was reported by at least three separate witnesses by the British colonist.
Okay.
Is that still a paper?
It combined with the Times something, so it's the Times colonist.
That makes sense.
It might have also dropped the British part after a while, before the amalgamation happened.
Yeah.
Because I think I've had the colonist as a source before, so they eventually joined forces with the Times. The Victoria Times, probably.
Just progressed and adapted and changed.
Corporate consolidation.
Gross. But we actually have identified this ghost.
Ooh!
Yeah, they identified her back in like 1861 as Adelaide Griffin.
Man, you're one-upping me.
Yeah.
My story last week, we didn't know who anyone was.
No, they were just things. Yeah, Pioneer Square is home to, well, I'll start with just this ghost. And I'll get to the other one later.
We're gonna focus on Adelaide right now.
Adelaide. Lovely, lovely lady.
Love Adelaide. Actually, that's the street next door to the one that my parents live on.
Uh-oh.
Adelaide.
She'll be very close to your heart.
Adelaide.
So Adelaide Griffith traveled from Victoria to Victoria from England in 1858, and she took a long route. She went through Australia, down to San Francisco, with her husband Benjamin Pitt Griffin, and in San Francisco they opened up a hotel. So it was the Boomerang Hotel. The Fraser Valley Gold Rush happened, and her husband, whose name was...
Gold Fever?
Yeah. Benjamin Pitt Griffin was like, there's gold up in Canada. Quick, we must
return to the Queen's Land.
Yes. So they closed up the Boomerang Hotel in San Francisco.
Was it an Australian-themed hotel?
Yeah. Which makes sense, because they went through Australia to San Francisco. So, like,
I'm picturing them bringing a kangaroo taxidermy with them. They wear hats, and they all say, g'day, mate. How's it going? Would you like a room here? Ah, oh, yeah, mate. We can didgeridoo up a room for you.
I wonder what Australia was like in 1858.
Probably still full of convicts.
Well, I mean...
When were the convicts sent over?
I don't have this information. I'm focusing on the ghost, Ariel.
But I want a history lesson, Topher.
I've been to Australia. It's pretty cool now.
I know. We've got friends from there.
Yeah.
We've got actors from there.
But I mean, if it was full of convicts, they wouldn't really make a themed hotel about...
Oh, but...
It might be based on, like, Aboriginals.
Maybe. Or, I mean, like, there's prison-themed stuff.
I don't have any of that information.
This is all conjecture.
Yeah. They closed up the Boomerang, and they brought it to Victoria, and they opened up the Boomerang Inn
at
Court Alley and Bastion Street, which is now known as Bastion Square.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know where that is.
Yeah, so there used to be a hotel there, an inn.
Yeah.
And it was a two-story wooden building with a large false front and, like, a couple rooms upstairs and a bar and a restaurant, a small reading room, and a meeting room downstairs. And the owner, Benjamin, he liked
Pitt
to, like...
Griffin.
Pitt Griffin. He liked to serve beer.
Yeah.
And Adelaide was known to serve free bologna to customers. Which, I don't know, must have been like a fun thing to do back then.
Or just some weird, like, what if all the customers would, maybe they didn't get a lot of repeat customers because it was like, this lady, she just keeps trying to shove this month-old bologna down our throats.
Funny you should say that. Because their customer base is a little bit odd.
Yeah. Bologna fanatics.
Not just that. This is a real fun part of the story. So the inn was located near the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it became one of the last stops for death row prisoners who were entitled to one last stiff drink before being hung.
That makes sense why it's Australian food, then. Yeah. We're sorry, Australia. We do not mean to malign you if anyone from there listens to this. We, everywhere has a checkered past.
Honestly, we would love to learn your history and what Australia was like in 1858. So if you have that information, email us at badcookiepictures@gmail.com.
And we'll do a correction on the episode that we record after this one.
Please, yeah.
Yeah.
Side note, public executions were a source of public entertainment in Victoria until they were abolished in 1870.
Yeah.
So lots of people came to the bar, had a nice stiff whiskey, and then...
Before they got stiff.
Yeah.
Oh, that wasn't right. They became stiffs. They didn't get stiff.
I mean, I imagine they became pretty limp first.
Yeah. But, you know, people call corpses stiffs sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? That's not just me making up a phrase.
No.
Okay.
So, in July 1861, Adelaide died suddenly at the age of 31. And their cause of death is unknown.
Moida?
Moida? Maybe. Some sources will say... She was poisoned.
Moida.
And some sources say she caught typhoid. But...
Maybe Typhoid Mary took a trip to Victoria.
Maybe.
And made her some peach ice cream.
Maybe.
Or it was the bologna.
honestly, it was just 1858, and they didn't have the
technology
to give a straight answer.
I'm going to say she had a bad batch of bologna. Death by bologna.
Just too much bologna. She reached the, like, critical limit of bologna.
And then
her
heart just gave way. It's like, too much cholesterol! No!
So she was buried in the Quadra Street Burial Ground, which is now Pioneer Square. And her tombstone is still there.
Ooh.
It's, like, super weathered.
Silly?
It's like a park. It's not an active grave cemetery anymore. It's just a bunch of old rocks.
Well, I mean, people need to start picnicking in graveyards. So if an old graveyard that's not used anymore turns into a park, you know, that's stepping stone in the right direction.
Totally.
Like, get people used to being in graveyards.
I've had lots of fun in graveyards.
Me too, yes.
Picnics. A lot of drinking.
Dates.
Yeah.
A lot of dates.
We're, like, right close to the graveyard.
Yeah.
It's pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
You can go get a drink at the Dark Manor Inn, walk through the graveyard, and then end up at Church's Chicken and get some food.
I remember when we went to Church's Chicken on Halloween.
Totally. We were all dressed up in our costumes. Nowadays, it's not such a good costume.
I was
from Lords of Salem.
Yeah, from Lords of Salem, except I didn't go all out.
And I was, gosh, I can't even...
A skull-faced person.
Yeah.
In a fancy suit.
It wasn't a person. It was a god thing.
I was trying to keep it vague. Keep it vague so no one would get mad at you.
Well... It's fine. It happened. It's history. I know better now. Let's get back to it
back to ghosts.
Because there is also another ghost at the Pioneer Square Park.
Another one.
And
did they die of moida?
See, there's like...
Contrary.
Contradicting. Contrary. It's ridiculous.
Well, contradicting stories.
Contradicting stories. So, I'm going to explain... here while I have the mic, before we dive deep into Richard Johnson, that...
Ooh, Dick Johnson.
Dick Johnson. R.H. Johnson. Richard Soap and Water Johnson.
Oh.
That if you search up Pioneer Square online, you're going to get a very small anecdote with the wrong name, Robert Johnson. And all it's going to say is that the cemetery is also haunted by the ghost of Robert Johnson, who slit his own throat, and people see him slitting his own throat in the window of the house across the street.
Are you saying that the internet is wrong about something?
The internet just latched on to a report done by Creepy Canada in 2003. That was just a little bit embellished for TV. So originally I came to podcast today with that story, and it wasn't great, but I needed to pad the Adelaide Griffin story.
Don't admit to the padding. They don't know we pad.
We're padding, okay? That was all the facts we have, and we're still at like 18 minutes in. So I wanted to bring you another story about Robert Johnson, who slit his own throat. Now people see him slitting his own throat.
That would be really hard to slit your own throat.
Yeah.
Like, and give up partway through.
It's very dramatic, though.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a sharp enough knife, you can do it in one smooth motion. Probably not.
Yeah, the amount of... Because, like, it's an awkward angle, too.
Yeah. It's your throat. And you really have to cut the jugular.
Well, but also... Which you is can like... get, or if you go... You start at one ear and go then to the other ear, then you get all the other stuff in there, too. That's where the phrase smiling from ear to ear comes from. Because when someone would slit someone's throat from ear to ear, they left
sometimes
them smiling
Ariel,
from ear to ear.
You are very charming. So my story continues that I got here and Ariel was like, well, you know, you should check the book that my mom gave me.
Thanks, Mom.
We've talked about this book a lot.
Last week, that was my main source.
The Haunting of Vancouver Island by Shannon Sinn.
They can't see you holding it up.
Okay, I'm holding it up in my hand. In my other hand, I've got the iPad with my notes on it.
It just looked like you were like, look at this.
Look at the book. Look at the book, Yeti microphone.
It's got a really pretty cover.
Yeah. We've talked about Shannon Sinn during the Hudson's Bay.
I've done 2 episodes from that book alone.
Yeah.
And now you're doing an episode from the book.
Yeah. Also, Christmas. Robert Lee shot on Christmas.
Robert Fee
shot on Christmas. Go back. You can listen to the Skull-Faced Bishop episode.
Yeah.
And learn all about it. Merry Christmas. Solstice.
Happy solstice.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Fuck off.
You're in a bad mood today.
I had to get up early.
So, Richard Johnson had often challenged politicians, military leaders, and the people of Victoria alike. Now, this is from the book, so this is much better source, unfortunately. Than the internet. So if you look online, you're going to get this twisted story full of embellishments and ridiculous things. But he was of African descent and a well-known proponent of race equality, which I imagine was like pretty hard back in 1860s, 70s.
Okay, I need to research it to see if it's true, but I swear in social studies class in Victoria, we learned that Victoria's first police force was actually black.
Really?
Yeah, sweet. But I might be remembering things wrong, so I have to actually look it up, but...
The story I got about his death, that he slit his own throat, and blah, 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 blah. And I've got the book up now.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the inner workings of VC is Creepy. I'm going to let you all in on it. It's my Christmas gift to you.
Oh, don't unwrap it early.
Yeah. I'm going to quote because I'm pretty unprepared.
Sorry for giving you contrary evidence last minute, Topher.
Yeah, thanks. Like, literally, we were ready to record, and then I got this book, and all of a sudden, full of things.
Full of beans.
Be that as it may, recent stories say that Johnson's apparition appeared to the new occupants of his former home while simultaneously drawing his thumb across his throat, reenacting or attempted to communicate the cause of his untimely death. It has even been said that Johnson repeated the same gesture when he appeared to the people in the graveyard. In December of 2003, an episode of Creepy Canada aired that propelled the Quadra Street Cemetery story to a whole new level. At least 3 people on 3 separate occasions, the narrator claimed, had seen the ghosts of Adelaide Gordon Griffith and Richard Soap and Water Johnson together in the graveyard at the same time. What was even more spectacular was the fact that they had appeared during full daylight. Johnson, the narrator concluded, always ran his thumb over his throat just to let people know that he had killed himself. Meanwhile, Adelaide would suddenly appear to stare intently at those same people until they fled in fear. Truthfully, both of these apparitions only appeared at night. Adelaide was never said to have interacted with anyone, and Johnson may have only been seen for the year or so following his death.
Oh, they weren't ghost lovers then.
No.
They weren't like pulling a Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice, being a ghostly, scaring team.
And for those who would later say that Johnson killed himself in the house, there's another contradiction as well. Former captain wasn't even living in the house when he died, but passed away in the rural location of Metchosin, outside of Victoria.
Former captain?
Yeah.
Police captain, perhaps?
Police captain, perhaps. Yeah.
I'm gonna actually Google that right now.
I'm telling you, the internet is not great.
I know.
What you're gonna see when you search the Pioneer Cemetery is a lot of lists. With small, really unresearched stories. But what we do know is that the year following his death in outside of Victoria, the British colonist has actually reported several sightings of Richard Johnson's ghost. And he just kind of appeared. He didn't run his fingers across his neck, according to the British colonist of 1870. And this was recorded on October 21st of 1870. What did you find?
Oh, just history of the Victoria Police. It's not given enough information.
No.
Anyways.
So, Pioneer Square, home to two ghosts. If you go on a creepy Christmas ghost walk, they're going to tell you about these two ghosts, Adelaide Griffiths and Richard Parker. Richard Soap and Water Johnson.
Yeah, I'm like, Parker?
Who? Parker.
What? Where'd you get Parker from?
I'm pretty sure it just rolled up in this book here. I know. You should have seen me scrambling to add stuff to my notes.
Oh, yeah. I had to distract myself while I waited.
Harassing that poor cat.
He needs to start playing with me.
He does play with you. Look at all these things on your face.
That's not with, in the sense that I want it to be. I just want to cuddle him and make him play with me.
He seems intent on scratching a pentagram into your face.
Well, we all know that cats worship to the pentagram when they're licking themselves. I've seen them do it. Five-point star cat-licking butt.
Your cat might be a Satanist.
Wouldn't put it past him.
So, sources. The best source that I found on here was actually books. So there was two books that I found online to talk about Adelaide Griffin. The first one was Haunted Christmas, Yuletide Ghosts and Other Spooky Holiday Happenings by Mary Beth Crane. And the second was Aqua Vitae, A History of the Saloons and Hotel Bars of Victoria, 1851 to 1917 by Glenn A. Mofford. Now, just before recording, I also checked out the book The Haunting of Vancouver Island by Shannon Thin.
We know.
But this is the sources.
Yep. Everyone already knew you that it was right before recording.
It's called a format, and it's very important. And after I tell you about the sources, we're gonna plug our bad cookie stuff.
Because that's how the episodes always
happen. That's how the episodes always happen. We start with like a little bit of banter, then we go into our stories, and then we and then we do our sources, and then we do our plugs. And sometimes we have guests, and it's kind of fun.
And sometimes it's just us.
Mostly it's just us, because we do it every week.
Yeah.
And we get together on Tuesday. And we eat a little meal first.
Yeah.
And then whoever did the research for the episode...
Doesn't
have to cook, but has to edit the episode on Audacity afterwards. And it takes like an hour hours.
I had to re-edit the last one we did.
Yeah.
I'm a lot pickier.
Yeah. Ariel usually goes over mine because... I just edit out the ums.
Not even at all. I still edit out a lot of ums.
There's a lot of ums. We edit them out also, so that
it's... mouth clicks. Those are so annoying.
Yeah, I always miss those. I do the
Maybe we'll edit this out. No. Who knows?
No, probably not.
I don't know. We could. Look, we're at a half an hour. We could.
And then it gets released either a week or 2 weeks later, depending on if we had to, like, miss a week or whatnot. Yeah. So.
We're not perfect.
There's two internet articles that I decided to add to my sources.
That might be wrong!
VanIsleParanormal.ca and livinglibraryblog.com, but online sources weren't as detailed and definitely did not research their sources very well. And so stick with books when it comes to ghosts. Like,
yeah,
ghosts. There's two of them in Pioneer Square in Victoria, most haunted city in Canada. And on Christmas 1861 was our first recorded.
Spooky. Did you get a haircut?
I did.
Looks good.
Thank you. So, bad cookie stuff. Now we're at the end of our show.
Yes. And we have a festival Nepenthes will be playing at, because we just found out. It's going to be playing at PDX Stream. We were there last year with Ready to Burst.
And there's a strong possibility we'll go this year.
Yeah. So
if you are American or in Portland or just want to like come hang out, Portland!
Woo!
They got food trucks.
They got breweries.
They got some of the nicest cafes that I've seen ever, actually. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty stoked.
Yeah.
And the people who run that festival are pretty cool.
Yeah.
They come up to Cinema Fantastique every year.
Sometimes they come up to Badass.
Yeah, so we're excited to.
Yeah.
We're excited for that one.
Yeah.
You should go to our YouTube channel right now.
Yeah, because last week we released Paint the Town Red. Paint it red with all that blood. Just paint it.
Which was our first co-directing, co-direct writing effort.
Yeah.
That was.
We co-wrote.
We co-directed. It was really fun.
I acted.
And I. Bit I mean, me. I kind of designed.
Yeah, there wasn't.
There wasn't really much to do with that.
I was art director.
Yeah.
I made tickets.
Yeah. It's a great film. It's just finished its.
Festival run.
Festival run of a year. Year and a bit.
It'll be 2 years in March, so yeah, a year and a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we
and put it free. Out there.
Yeah.
It's five, six minutes of your time that you can spend towards that and never get back.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our Christmas.
Ooh.
Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime.
In the meantime, you can follow all of our adventures on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Vimeo,
Pinterest,
and Patreon.
Yes, and we will be doing a special draw from our patrons, and we're going to be giving one of lucky them, except you, Mom, you already have everything, some bad cookie gift of some sort that will be revealed to them when they receive it.
So jump on Patreon.
Yeah, join our Patreon.
$1 a month. Help us support a local horror scene.
You might get free stuff if you're a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you want to see me, like, just stuff that I do, if you want to see pictures of this damn cat, you can find me as at Hanson's Horror, and that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And if you want to find me on Instagram, I'm Sneezing Wolf.
Yeah. I think that's it today.
So until then, and this is our standard sign-off that we use every episode so that we don't have to think of a clever ending every time.
Yeah.
So
stay creepy.
Stay creepy.